we have pulled back from that is a little disheartening. But I think we will, you know, we will continue. I mean, people celebrated in 1875 and the end of Reconstruction every year since the day itself. So I continue that we will persevere. I'm assuming that we will, in fact, persevere and go ahead with it. But it's definitely under attack now. And this whole measure, this whole effort to take things back, roll back the civil rights movement and roll back advancements for African-American people.
Annette Gordon-Reed, I want to thank you so much for being with us, Harvard history professor. Thank you. And president of the Organization of American Historians. She's the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the book The Hemingses of Monticello, An American Family. And her most recent book is titled On Juneteenth. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feldstein, Augustine Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Teresena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser, Tarina Nadara, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Masood, and Safwat Nazal. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Hugh Grant, Carl Marxer, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. You are continuing to listen to community radio here at KBOO FM. That's 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, and 104.3 in Corvallis. Via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. And you are listening to More Talk Radio. Today is Monday, the 18th of August. The year is 2025. My name is Cecil, and I am pleased to have the opportunity to spend some time with you this morning. I hope you are well, and for those of you who are listening live, I hope you had a good enough weekend. And for those who are listening at another time, I hope things are going well with you. Well, how was your week? How was your weekend? If you were the President of the United States, you took a little journey to the state of Alaska, met with the head of the Russian Federation, and now after going on your social media and sending out all sorts of texts at all hours in the morning, you're preparing to meet with European leaders. But if you're not the President of the United States, perhaps you have other plans to do. And that's what I would like to share for you to share with me today. What are your plans? How are we getting along, and how do we manage? You know, I turn on Democracy Now! And am flooded with news and information that's all necessary. Much of it is discouraging, but a lot of it is inspiring. Inspiring because it reminds me, at least, that there are people during this time, as in all times, continuing to do the good struggle, to do that which they think is important in terms of building a better society for all people. So in a time when so much is seem to be under destruction, societal norms are being torn apart by those in power, it's often difficult for me, and I wonder if it is for you, to be able to continue on with the perspective that things, well, may not get better in the immediate short term, but if we continue to do the good work, we may be able to do it, may get better in the long run. And those are the things that I think continue to inspire me and, quite frankly, enable me to rise in the morning, because I realize the work that others have done and others are doing, and that in spite of it all, there is not only good work to be done, but also the opportunity to create a better community. So, our numbers here are 503-231-8187. I'm interested in hearing what are people doing to create a better community. And I would like to share with you a couple of things this morning, and I'd like to hear your perspective. So again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. But first I want to share with you this article by and I believe the name is Negin, N-E-G-I-N is the first name, and Fassad is the last name, which was published a couple of days ago in the Progressive magazine. And it's a reminder for me, at least, the need to create community and ways in which we can do that. And so in this article, the writer entitled The Intergenerational Hang, and it goes like this. There's a lot of old people out there. That sounds ageist, but statistically it's true. The share of people age 65 and older in the United States is almost 18%, up from 10% in 1974. Turn on C-SPAN and the Congressional Chamber reflect our dominant cohort of cotton tops. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the cotton tops. In fact, I got two very prominent ones in my life. My parents, whom I love deeply, and what I want most for them is to have fun. I've been struck by the nature of fun when it comes to older people. What does it entail? How do they get it? Why isn't it more readily obvious? They continue. The woes of elder isolation has been talked about, and many ideas get at possible solutions. Some involve robots, like a pilot program in New York State that pairs the IQ robot with elderly people for conversation and reminders. Now, early data shows a 95% reduction in loneliness, which is promising. A service in Ireland offers transport to community hubs for elderly people in rural areas. Elsewhere in Europe, some supermarket offers slow lanes where cashiers chat with the elderly. These all sound incredibly useful, but do they sound fun? If you know anyone who is 80 or above, their main complaint is that all their friends keep dying. What older people need is younger friends to have fun with. They need to be around other generations who aren't going to die on them. I recently read about a Belgian organization that was taking octogenarians and nonagenarians to nightclubs. That's right. Gram and Gramps were going to the club. What's more, it's not like the club was closed just for them. Oh, no. These were normally operating clubs filled with 20-somethings playing bass-heavy hits that happens to also welcome groups of elderly booty shakers. And the 20-somethings ended up dancing with the 90-somethings. Now this seems fun. The intergenerational hang is the most natural answer to the problem of elder isolation, and yet it is so hard to achieve. I didn't quite notice when I moved to New York City how separate my 23-year-old life was from anyone over 65. To me, the city was a playground for taunt young bodies trying to get some. To be honest, I had a blast. But why wasn't any part of my day more integrated with some kind of regular interaction with the elderly? Once I had my own kid, I started to crave more connection with older folks, in part because I wanted their wisdom in parenting, because my daughter seemed to relish their attention, and they always seemed interested in her. Slowly, I built a stable of elders in my life who have become some of my favorite people. Some policy initiatives are attempting to introduce more intergenerational mixing into our lives. The Little Brother Program here in the United States, part of a global organization founded in France, matches youngsters to the elderly for friendship and celebration of life. The New York State Office of the Aging is developing an intergenerational games initiative to create space where older and younger players connect over board games. These kinds of programs are steps in the right direction because their aim isn't to treat older people like items on a to-do list where the end goal is for them to take their medicine. These programs are about developing real relationships and, again, having fun. As I look at my own parents, aunts, and uncles, I keep thinking that I've got to continue making younger friends. When it's my time to go, I want to have people left to come to my funeral. Not to make this about a headcount, but nevertheless, when it's my time, I want the audience at my service to reflect a person who had healthy intergenerational hangs. Someone who could turn to their 27-year-old buddy to explain all the celebrity gossip and the latest AI thingy. I also want the audience to be dressed in ball gowns and three-piece suits, but check back for the party details after I shuffle off this mortal coil. In the meantime, I want to support programs that create lasting bonds between Granny and the cool kids because she's been through a lot. And now she deserves to shake her booty on the dance floor, surrounded by hotties that make her feel young. That was by Najin Farsad, The Intergenerational Hang. And a question I have for you, what are your communities of intergenerational gatherings? Are you isolated in a bubble? Are there opportunities you have for intergenerational gatherings? Share with us those times of intergenerational gathering. What prevents them and what enabled them? And why are they important or are they important? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Let's go to our first caller and hear what they have to say. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Cecil. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I'm getting ready to go to work.
Okay.
So you're talking about older people, which means you're talking about me and my friends, and that's fine. It's a good subject, and I would love to dispel the stereotypes. Please. I'm off to work. I'm 81 years old, and yes, there are older people working in Fred Meyers or wherever, standing sadly beside the cash register because the Social Security doesn't give you enough to live on and we have to have a job, you know.
Yes.
But I have a good job, which I really like.
Great.
And this is beside the point of separating older people as this kind of, oh, I don't know, other sad group out there that somehow waited to die or something. I mean, yes, we die. So the first thing is we're all going to die. Here I go on my rant, okay?
That's all right.
And I think it's a privilege to get to be my age because not a lot of people manage to do it. And if we keep destroying the environment, it's going to be harder and harder for people to live a longer life and get older. But nevertheless, it's possible to be older and happy, and we are. I have a lot of fun with my friends. Just we visit, I play music, I do all kinds of things, which are a lot of fun.
Yes, great.
So to assume that old people are just sitting around in the nursing home waiting to die, well, there are people like that, but that's because of the way our society is set up.
Yes.
That if you are no longer productive and taking part in this enterprise of building the economy, so-called, that we're all supposed to be doing, that somehow you're no longer useful and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And that's just a bunch of bull hockey, frankly. And people are traveling and we get together with our friends and we have a lovely time. And that includes dancing and singing and playing musical instruments and doing all kinds of things.
Fantastic.
That we've learned how to do over our life and are now doing pretty well because we've got the experience.
Yes.
And whether or not we fit into the so-called work world and this technology thing, some of us are definitely into it. In fact, some of us created it or continuing to create it. And the rest of us who don't particularly like it are doing other things. So you can call me Granny Analog if you like, even though I'm nobody's granny, and I have never had children and don't really have any desire to be with little kids, although I have taught and enjoy that too.
Yes, sure.
And how I interact with other people is through political action and all kinds of things.
Okay.
So the stereotype and this idea of putting Granny and Grandpa into some kind of room where they're playing with robots or something, my God, that's so insulting.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no difference between somebody who's older and somebody who's younger, except that we've lived longer and have seen some history, right?
Exactly. And one of the points I was making by sharing this article was the point you just made in terms of the need for intergenerational communication, conversation, gatherings, because we realize that we have a lot more in common and to learn from each other, regardless of our generation. So I appreciate your words, and there's a couple of callers waiting to continue, but I'll let you finish and I'll let you get off to work. But continue, John.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I just wanted to make that point that an older person is so different from a younger person. And we all have our own perspectives. And a lot of people really don't want to hang out with their parents. And that's totally understandable if they feel that their parents are controlling their activities or whatever.
Sure.
But there are a lot of older people who are not your parents.
Good point.
And yes, I would like to drop the stereotypes and drop them really quickly. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joan, and thank you for your words. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I am Cecil on community radio station KBOO. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. A question I began this morning is, I read an article about intergenerational gatherings. Are there times in which you find places for intergenerational gatherings, and is that important to you? Let's go to our next caller.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, Edie. Good morning.
I think that at different stages in life, we mature and we may learn to resist all the dominant cultures, capitalism. So I hope that as I get older, I am wiser. I hope I am more spiritually mature and more socially responsible and environmentally accountable. I don't want to be like my father in his late 90s, who's pretty selfish, narcissist, lazy parasite. So what I want is to have folks know that in Portland, Oregon, and wherever else that KBOO is being listened to online or via radio, there are many groups that get together. And the fun is that joy, that satisfaction, that peace, that relief from the anxiety, and that affirmation of who we really are and why we exist. Mm-hmm. So in Portland, Oregon, there are the Interfaith Movement for Immigrant Rights and Justice, and you can call them at the Coalition Hotline at 888-622-1510 to report immigration enforcement actions and to accompany people. There is also the Portland Immigration Rights Coalition, also accompanying people and reporting. There is Extinction Rebellion against climate change, mass extinction of different folks. They have lots of creative art and music and protests coming up. There is the Resist U.S.-Led Wars PDX. They are going to have a caravan September 1st leaving from Portland. There's a lot of great artwork and things that people can do beforehand.
Okay.
50-51, 50 states, 50 protests. It's actually thousands of protests. One day is also having something September 1st that is in solidarity with people who are being oppressed. It's against fascism and the takeover of our government, our resources.
Okay.
So there are people who use music, who do creative puppet making and art, people who fix food, people who plan events, people who do costume and dancing. But there are also people, I don't know if you call it fun. I'm not really a fan of selfish hedonism. It doesn't go very far. But there is this great sense of satisfaction and wholeness. It's protection from the despair and helplessness or resentment, the separation, isolation, loneliness that abusers, dictators, et cetera, would use on us.
Okay.
And so these groups are different age that I mentioned, have different ages. I mean, Sunshine is mostly youth. Yes. But the other ones I talked about are all different ages coming together. The third act is mostly seniors.
Right.
But the ones I mentioned, they're coming together, and it gives them hope. There are also folks on Signal chat who are doing a lot for mutual aid to provide food, water, fans, rides, comfort, dog food, or whatever for
sure.
people who are forced into living outside.
Right.
And
well,
that
Edie,
is friendship and belonging.
Let me see if I can summarize what some of what I've heard from you is the importance of one political action, but also the involvement in these different organizations is an opportunity for gatherings. It's an opportunity for political action, and so you mentioned several actions and organizations people may participate in. And one last thing that I heard you said, it's in sort of like this gathering community. There's in resistance. There might be some joy in that, and we need community. I appreciate what you shared with us, Edie, and I thank you for being a wealth of information.
And also, you know, we also have our elders. If it's at NEA or NARA, we have elders in different ethnic groups, religious groups, who are passing on what we need for resilience, not just for food gathering and preparation skills and sewing, but right. also just that psychological, interpersonal, social, spiritual resilience that gives us an inner joy that is independent of the ups and downs of our external circumstances.
Good point. Good point. Thank you so much, Edie, for reminding us about the inner ability that gives us the resilience to resist. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil. This morning we're talking about began our conversation by sharing an article about intergenerational gatherings. And the question I had, are there opportunities that you participate in intergenerational gatherings? If so, why? If not, if no, why not? Let's go to our next caller, Santiago. Good morning.
Good morning. It's funny, intergenerational gatherings, honestly, I guess if you're thinking in terms of like a public sphere, you don't really have a lot of them necessarily, but if you look at like within cultural communities, mm-hmm. there's a lot of intergenerational gatherings, especially when you talk about the Latino and the Pacific Islander communities too, which I'm familiar with. And then also like even within Black communities, there's cultural events where generations gather all the time to do things.
Yes.
It's just that in the wider American culture, it has been purposely devalued for the sole aim of getting people to become more atomized, to spend more money within the economy. J.D. Vance was talking about, I'm not a J.D. Vance supporter, mind you, but he was talking about the idea of when he was talking about like his, BS thing about, women being more, more nurturing and caring. And that's why women should be in the home. And he talked about his grandmother, his mother-in-law coming to take care of the kids. And it's like, the thing is that like, we in Black and brown cultures, like we have that culture of being intergenerational within households. It's whether it's cooking, cleaning, or whether it's teaching the young kids about things in life. And even if we don't always see eye to eye, we understand that they have something of value.
Right.
And honestly, that's what I see is missing. You see older women when we do hula exhibitions, you see older women who can hula with the best of the younger women.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like it's seeing a value in somebody beyond what they quote unquote monetarily offer.
Exactly.
Because this culture, this white supremacist colonial culture, it throws its elders into warehouses when they get too old to pay bills because they don't want to deal with the care that goes into taking people into the next part of their life. They still have plenty of life in them, even if they can't necessarily do all the things they could do when they were, 30, 40 years younger, but that doesn't mean they don't have something. And really, at the end of the day, if we're going to fight for the ability for, older people to be able to participate meaningfully in society, we have to understand that this society is fundamentally structured against them, and we have to do what we can to tear down the institutions that not only purposely impoverish, but in my opinion, actually aim to destroy them.
Okay, but we have to go to our next call, but I think I got a lot of information from you, and one thing I got from you is looking at different cultures and seeing how they celebrate and inclusive of different generations. Thank you so much. And you're listening to KBOO. I'm Cecil. We're talking about intergenerational gatherings, are there connections, and are they necessary? Let's go to our next caller who's been waiting. Good morning, Jeff. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm dangerously well.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Dangerously.
I'm so glad that you brought this topic up. Nagin Farsad, by the way, is a very talented comedian and can be heard regularly on NPR's Wait, Don't Tell Me. Fabulous and funny program.
Excellent.
The issues raised by her are important, and the issues you've raised today are important. I, in my 60s, am now the youngest of my circle of close friends.
Hmm. Wow.
And you could fairly call me, in the words of the aforementioned J.D. Vance, a childless cat lady, because I have no children, and frankly, I'm glad that I have no children. But in the coffeehouse culture that I inhabit, I have the opportunity with my older friends, who range from 65 to 81, the chance to meet some awesome young people.
Yes.
And I have generally speaking, not been impressed by many of the children that this society is bringing us. I don't care about their race, their culture, their creed, or their income. By and large, I am roundly disappointed. However, I did find not long ago a young man who is working to design retirement communities that incorporate, and I pressed him on this. I said, do they incorporate children? He said, yes, we have children in a little school right on the campus of the retirement facility,
yes.
Assisted living facility. That is a step in the right direction. Also, Cecil, I have a brother-in-law who is 67 and is suffering early onset Alzheimer's. It set in when he was about 60.
Mm.
So for the last 7 years, he has been suffering greatly.
Oh, dear.
His wife, my sister, has been taking very good care and has found a place for him for now and visits him constantly,
yes.
Twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
From they have a lovely home, but he is no longer in their lovely home. He is now in this particular place.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is that the onset of dementia is coming to almost all of us,
yes.
At a younger and younger age. And that is something that concerns me greatly, which is why I enjoy spending more time in my 60s with people in their 70s and 80s, because I, too, as related to them, a very young man,
yes.
Have so much to learn from them.
Great point.
And the children that I do on occasion see, and I see plenty of them, there seems to be a horrible increase in the amount of these kids are on the spectrum, as they say. And I have no power over that, but I do have the capacity to meet with younger people, share with them my experiences of these 62 years, and also to share with them the skills I've learned thus far.
Yes, yes.
And so it is with my 80-year-old friend who teaches me the skills they've learned thus far.
Very
now,
good.
I don't believe in warehousing people at all, but I believe we need to address the issues of autism and dementia.
Okay.
At both ends of this long spectrum. And I thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Jeff, and for sharing your information and being in your social groups, being a young person and being an older person. We all should remember that. Let's go to our next caller, April. Good morning, April.
Morning. I love the topic, and I love Jeff's last observation that we need to address both ends of life, you know, the autism and the dementia.
Yes.
I think in general our society needs to be more flexible and accepting of people. I think that would go a really long ways in making it nicer for all of us.
Mm.
But as far as intergenerational things, the only things I have found, and I am like Jeff, I'm on the younger 60, so okay. I'm usually the youngest in my
your group.
The uh-huh. groups I go to. But I belong to Elder Pride Services, which is a service of Friendly House, and they every once in a while have intergenerational luncheons.
Yes.
And I really enjoy that. And the one I enjoyed the very most was a PSU capstone class came. Uh-huh. And it was actually a little more structured. And so I think it encouraged us to mix more,
yes.
which I think is why I really enjoyed it. But it was really good. And my other really good experience has to do with PSU also.
Okay.
It was through the Hollywood Senior Center, and they had a PSU focus group, which actually happened to be I don't think it was a capstone, but it had something to do with them graduating. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we talked about alternative ideas of family, and it lasted, maybe 3 months, and we met every week. And there were three of us from the senior center and one teacher and two grad students from PSU. And I really, really enjoyed that. And I thought it was very valuable. I met a lot of good friends there. And I also have not done it yet, but I'm aware that PSU has a program where older people can audit classes for
yes.
free.
Yes.
So that is something I would like to try, and I expect that will be fairly intergenerational, too.
Excellent. Excellent thoughts. Thank you so much for sharing, April, and sharing these ideas and places where you gather. You mentioned the Hollywood Senior Center, and, you know, they changed their name now, so it's now the Community
for Positive Aging.
For Positive Aging. I like that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank Bye-bye. You so much. Have a great day. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. We're talking about aging, specifically opportunity for intergenerational gatherings, learnings, meetups, why it is important, or is it important? Let's go to Janet, who has some thoughts. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you this day?
I got up kind of grumpy the last couple of days, and I mentioned I've been doing some shadow work. Sometimes we recognize as we get older, there's certain things that we've been trying to figure out for our whole life.
Yes.
And then to really zone in, thinking, well, now have an opportunity to not have to be busy, busy, and working quite so much that we can really identify what our goals are. And where we're headed, like as a special ed teacher, we did this IEPs, although there was a immunity enhancement project in Portland to identify goals short-term and long-term. And one thing I wanted to bring up with you from my background in studying, teaching, and then being in the classroom was really, really intensely upset kids. I get the most intensely upset kids was my whole career. And there's something called that we studied called oppositional defiance. And many people would be thinking that the job of the teacher is to be the compliance officer, to make the kids sit down and listen and say uncle. However, what I'm recognizing is that the important thing for me in regards to my spiritual growth is true self, to wake up in the morning and get my head where my heart is, and that the opportunity to really connect, to communicate with all people, especially young people, because one of the dreams I had when I was first getting into the school thing was that this is about ready to get my certificate, which was very difficult to move through a lot of karmic blockages of many times. I won't go into all of it,
yes.
but the institution was crumbling.
Yes.
So when we present ourselves as older people, thinking that the kids should just model themselves after us and listen to what we're saying and shut up, just shut up and listen thing, it's to me it's totally backwards, and not to the point to recognize here's this baby, my great grandson. He's like incredible. And I say, want to listen to that? People used to talk about the indigo children. They come in free and clear and ready to roll to give us things that we need to listen to them, and not to program them, social programming them, so that they're buying into the BS grinder, with not really learning the creative ways to appreciate old literature, but just to listen to this sorry ass people that when I was teaching at the Whitaker School, they would bring in literature to teach you how to read, which was so scripted, which was really bad stuff, that the teacher should really make a haven, make a space for kids to express themselves and interact. People don't even know how to listen to another person. And here I'm going on and on and on and thinking, what does my babble matter anymore? Totally less than listening and encouraging with gentle words to young people, and appreciating the mosh pit, the resistance thing, the oppositional defiance. Say yes, defy, that resistance is the most important thing we have going in our society, and to help young people to speak up about social injustice, and to give them confidence to think that their hearts are important, and to make them feel the happiness of all people is important, and don't stop speaking about Palestine. And I don't know, as a social activist, I really need to stay on that point. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Janet, and reminding us of the need for these opportunities. You're listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. I'm Cecil. Let's go to our next caller, Tangent, I believe.
Brother Cecil and all my KBU brothers and sisters. And before I go up on my tangents and cosines, I want to just bring up the whole thing about old. And so I've been on this about 10 years or so. My age is 67, and I say I'm 67 years experienced. But the thing is, people will say, here's my new baby, he's one day old, or new car, or what have you. And that's not really old. But I'll share this story. When I turned 50, and I never cared, okay, and I always looked younger than most people, I would ask, they'd ask me, and I'd say guess, and it was usually 10 years more. But the thing is when I turned 50, I started saying, well, I guess I'm getting old now. Mm-hmm. And I noticed more wrinkles on my forehead after about 6 months, and I thought, well, that's odd. And I just stopped saying it, and those wrinkles, new ones, went away. And I still have the ones I earned in my 30s and 40s.
Okay.
That's one point.
Yes.
There's a show that came on yesterday. There's some Ukrainian folk, which I don't know how long ago, but they're starting something called either the Academy of Joy or something like this. It's totally intergenerational. They want to do mentorship, teach people how to be entrepreneurs, business people, you know, start their own businesses. It's the one name was Volterra. But look for it. It was on about like 11 or 12 yesterday morning.
On cable?
Cecil, please, because it was super fantastic.
It was on KB?
Yeah, it was on cable.
Oh, okay, great.
It was so enlightening. Listen, one thing she said was, we're not interested in flying to another planet. We want to work with this one that we have right here that we know of, okay?
Excellent.
It's always fed us, always going to if we take care of her.
Hey, thank you so much.
I just say now. I used to joke. I'm 60 some years young, but okay, now I've just gone with experience because I am experienced. I'm not saying I'm the most, but I have had this experience, and everybody who has lived any number of years has that experience, up, down, round, sideways, what it was. Okay, so that's another way. Instead of saying old, okay,
67 years of experience. Hey, Tangent. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your experience and for giving us a way to state it that people may hear it in a new way. So thank you so much, Tangent, who shared some of their thoughts about aging and about how we deal with it. You're listening to KBOO. I'm Cecil, and next up is She the Spirit. Good morning.
Good morning, and our luta continua, that means the struggle continues. The oldest woman on this planet is Mother Earth herself.
Mm.
Mother Earth, she has the whole planet in her hands. And I've been studying matrilinealism now, along with spiritual consciousness and mysticism. And one of the reasons that Christ is coming back, as most of us believe, and as the Revelation states, to create and start a new millennium, he's going to be helping mothers put an end to war and all these murders and suicides and all of these people on drugs, because the patrilineal system has just done us a job, not only to women and girls, but also to the boys, to the men.
Let me ask you, since you mentioned that, you know, and help me with the language, the patrilineage has been more harmful. How do we get people, should people be more interested in the matrilineage, and why is that important?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because matrilinealism was actually the first system of what you might call government for tens of thousands of years. It was mother's rule, mm-hmm. and we still see vestiges of that rule. When you go into a lawyer's office, you see the scales of justice being held by a mother, a woman, in a dress, in a skirt. And all of these symbols are, there's so many more, I'd like to one day discuss them. But I've studied these things, and justice, true justice, comes from the female, from the mother. And even though you see more men as lawyers with pants on, they are supposed to rule the way a mother would rule. But the mother loves both sexes, all sexes of her children, male, female, and all in between, right? Mm-hmm. So, the mother is blindfolded, and because she doesn't see this outward beauty or fame or fortune or wealth, she truly judges by the spirit, the character, and what's inside the person. Mm. So I hope that answers your question. I think everyone should go to the library and pick up a few books on matrilinealism, because that's where we're headed to. Okay. In order to make this planet a better planet, mothers are going to return to their throne.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and reminding us of the importance of this. Thank you. Thank you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. Our last caller, She the Spirit, reminded us of the important role of matrilineage, and the role of women, and how not only in society, but quite frankly, by reminding us of Mother Earth. So important, so important. So I wanted to, and I appreciate all those who have called in, and let me give you our numbers, because we have some time and some, I believe the lines are open, 503-231-8187. We've been discussing this morning about intergenerational connections, and our callers have shared with us so much. Our last caller, She the Spirit, reminded us of how we should learn from mother and mother's wisdom, and how important that is. Several of our callers mentioned, you know, they were on the younger side in their groups. They're only in their 60s, but they learn and have so much from other people who are older. And so that was helpful for me, because wherever you are on your journey of life, you may be the youngest, you may be the oldest, you may be somewhere in the middle, but the important is that there's so much to learn from all of us. So thank you for that reminder. Jeff reminded us of cultural communications, how important that is, and Santiago shared some of that wisdom as well. And a couple of our callers reminded us, Edith, and Joan, reminded us of the importance of community and political action, how important it is to remain involved. Gave us a number of organizations, some more intergenerational than others, but it's also a reminder that we can find community wherever and the importance of community. And we began our conversation earlier on with Joan, who called because she's on her way to work, and she had to give us a call before she went to work and shared with us the importance of political action. Joan reminded us that, you know, she's 81 and she's off to work. So it's all of these people who have called and shared reminded me of the importance of intercultural, of multi-generational and intercultural gatherings and participation, and how important it is for us to not only encourage these type of things, but also to work for a better world. There's lots to do, but we need to continue to build community, and we need to build it in such a way in which we honor one another and also strengthen our ability to reach out for each other. So what are ways in which you are involved in intergenerational activities, and why is it important? We have a few minutes left, and I want to encourage you to give us a call, 503-231-8187, and share with us your thoughts about intergenerational gatherings and where do you have them. A couple of callers I mentioned earlier, a few minutes ago, mentioned that although they were in the 60s, in their social circles, they are often the younger group, which was helpful for me to remind me that regardless of where we are on our stages of life, we have things to learn from others and things to share with others. And regardless of our age, we can learn from older people or younger people. And you might say, well, I'm only in my bubble, in my circle, and I don't see either older or younger or people of different cultures. Well, this is, I think, a point this morning I wanted to share, was the importance for us to reach out and to find ways in which we connect, to move beyond places where we are comfortable with, because we have so much to learn and so much to give in a society where I think there is so much trouble, so much hardship, so much confusion, and quite frankly, so much hatred, that we need to, wherever we are, to build hubs of support, of community. And how we learn that is, again, by being willing to go beyond to where it may seem uncomfortable and find those places where people can gather in community and learn from one another. I began this morning by reading an article from Najin Farsad, who one of the callers reminded me is a great comedian. So go to their website and see how they are a great comedian. But in this article where they are talking about intergenerational hang, I think what attracted me was the fact that it's important to build bonds. It's important to build bonds among generations. They conclude their article with these two paragraphs. They write, "As I look at my own parents, aunts, and uncles, I keep thinking that I've got to continue making younger friends. And we may think we're young now, but as, you know, we all age. And they write, when it's my time to go, I want to have people left to come to my funeral, not to make this about a headcount, but nevertheless, when it's my time, I want the audience at my service to reflect a person who had healthy intergenerational hangs, someone who could turn to their 27-year-old buddy to explain all the celebrity gossip in the latest AI thingy. I also want the audience to be dressed in ball gowns and three-piece suits, but check back for the party details after I shuffle off this mortal coil. They conclude, in the meantime, I want to support programs that create lasting bonds between grannies and the cool kids, because she's been through a lot, and now she deserves to shake her booty on the dance floor, surrounded by hotties that make her feel young. And what I appreciate about this article is the recognition that it isn't what one generation gives to the other. As one of the callers mentioned, it isn't that, you know, we all need to go visit grannies in assisted living, but we all, whether we are living in assisted living or whether we're living independent, we all have things to receive and all have things to give. Whether we are the granny or the cool kid, there are things for us to be involved in. And that's why it's so important to build community, to create community. And that's something that we at KBOO have been doing for more than a half a century here in the Pacific Northwest, with trusted news, life-saving information, and inspiring music, and deep community engagement. This is all made possible not by corporate influence, but by tens of thousands of individual donors such as yourselves, foundations and sponsors across the states who believe in independent, non-commercial media. Now, I thought about beginning this program this morning by noting that KBOO is on a mission. But also by realizing many of you are aware that the Corporation of Public Broadcasting has given up the ghost. And KBOO received $110,000 from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that we are losing because of the federal funding cuts. And the only way we can make up for that is from people such as ourselves. I began this morning by talking about intergenerational hangs. Well, this is one intergenerational hang virtually. Whether you are in the workforce, whether you are retired, whether you are unemployed or unable to find work. We all are a community. We all need life-saving information. We all need the news. We all need to, as the writer mentioned, we all need to find time to party and dance. And we do this by building community, wherever we are. And so a suggestion for you, from me to you, is find community all around you. KBOO is a community. We are a way in which people of every political perspective, from many different communities across the state and indeed the Pacific Northwest, participate in creating programming that is informative, that is creative, that is entertaining, that moves us and builds community. Let's find ways in which to continue to do that when things are so discouraging, when we feel like we just can't take any more. Remember that we are able, because we are community, to build together and restore social trust in one another. Let us dedicate ourselves to building a better society, restoring social trust in democracy, and finding ways in which we can continue to do the good work. Well, friends, I want to remind you to stay tuned, continue to support community independent media such as KBOO, and continue to do the good work. Continue to do the good work. Make good trouble, as the late Congressman John Lewis said, and as Janet reminded us this morning. There's so much we have to do, but there are so many people around. So let's build community together. I continue to be Cecil Prescott. This has been More Talk Radio on KBOO. Stay tuned for more programming, and I will talk to you next time.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM.
Our KBOO Out Loud